Welcome. You've got podcast. The Kid Craddock in the Morning podcast is a condensed version of the show. Go to kidnation.com for more kid content. Kid Craddock in the Morning.
Last night was the 40th anniversary show of Saturday Night Live.
40 years.
Now, why they did it on a Sunday and not on a Saturday, I don't know why.
Well, because you already got your Saturday night show. I mean, why?
They didn't have anything on Saturday. They just did like a Valentine's
Day. They
did
a regular show.
No.
No.
They
just did an clips. Old.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
They did. You know how they do the theme? Yeah, they just did the Valentine's Day theme.
I mean, honestly, I would think more people would be inclined to watch.
On Saturday?
On Sunday night.
Oh, on Sunday?
A lot of people are, you know, have Valentine's plans and are going out
true.
On Saturday night. So maybe just for ratings purposes,
yeah.
They do it on Sunday.
And maybe the scheduling of the people on SNL, too, because it was a star-studded event.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the coolest part was when they would interact with, you know, the famous people in the audience.
Michael
Douglas. And people
Douglas
would stand
and,
up.
Yeah.
And when Seinfeld was out and he's, you know, taking questions from people in the audience, it's crazy looking at all the celebrities that were there and even the ones that didn't talk. I mean, the whole audience was just star-studded.
I mean, basically, you would have a monologue by a huge celebrity every 10 minutes after they did some skits, and that person would include all the people in the audience.
Yep.
Roughly every time they would do it. Like Jerry Seinfeld came out.
Yeah.
You had Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon kicked it off and killed it. This is what they sounded like when they opened up the show.
Swing the bears. Yeah, that's a ticket.
You look marvelous.
Yo, Sully, that's wicked.
The nerds, the bees, and tooters on the pedal.
Razzama, dada, dada.
Well, isn't that special?
It's a chronic white growth of SNL. It's a chronic white growth of SNL. Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, and Chevy Chase.
This my sweaty.
Santa Carmen and Santa and Farley and Rock. Hey Justin, what's that?
It's my in a box.
Now, on TV, they were allowed to say those words.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, but back in the day when they did that song, they weren't allowed to say the word.
Were they not? Because it was after prime time.
They did not. I remember it being, it's my. Mm.
Do you think maybe it was a slip up on somebody's part?
I felt like it might have been a slip-up.
Because they did, like, later in the show, I caught they edited GD.
Yeah.
When he did the Jaws thing.
Yeah.
That Jaws thing cracks me up.
They let that go.
Yeah.
They let that go for sure. But they were just doing all the catchphrases from throughout the years, and they turned it into a rap, which...
So it was like what they've done before with the history of rap.
Yeah.
This was the history
of SNL. and the lines.
Watching Fallon and Justin Timberlake open the show with that montage of the catchphrases made me... want to say, never call me talent. That's talent. I mean, you know
I'm
saying?
You.
Who's called you talent?
Well, right. Once in a while, somebody will say,
says it on his business card.
I missed that. When was that?
Once in a while, somebody will call me talent. Like, I'm not talent. That is talent.
Wow. That is talent.
Comparison is a dangerous thing,
yeah,
though,
I'm saying.
Because it's hard for us. Because, I mean, but that's the elite of the elite.
Dude, I mean, I was like bowing to that.
It is. It's impressive.
I put ourselves on there. I was like, would we be able to do some of that stuff? I'm like,
no,
maybe. But not that good.
Dude,
Amy Poehler had the line of the night, in my opinion, because she was up there with Tina Fey, and she said, SNL 40th anniversary was the show that kicked off winning an Emmy and then lost it halfway through. Because those guys absolutely are going to win an award because of that song right there.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And the cool thing about the show was you couldn't really tell what was an old skit and what was a new skit because they were just bringing them in.
Sometimes it was easy to tell. By the age of the people.
Yeah. I mean, But when Celebrity Jeopardy started, I couldn't tell if it was an old Celebrity Jeopardy or if it was a new one.
That was my favorite, I think.
And then you see Justin Bieber on there, and you're like, oh, it's a new one.
The adventures of Tom Sawyer are about this person's adventures.
I don't know nothing about Tom Sawyer.
Then don't buzz in, okay? No one has to buzz in.
But I know adventures, and I want you to come with me on the next one, girl.
I'm not a girl. I have a mustache on my face.
That's my favorite skit.
She is so good at
She's
being
so
him.
Good.
Yeah.
So good. And man, I miss Will Ferrell. He was so great on Saturday Night Live.
He's so good.
I almost forgot that all of these people started out, when I started out, but they were on Saturday Night Live. I mean, it was a throwback.
And it was
great.
Funny in the beginning that I actually missed and then had to go back and watch were them playing audition tapes of people that didn't make SNL originally.
It's shocking.
Because, you know, Zach Galifianakis, Kevin Hart. I mean, there's Steve Carell actually auditioned with his then. Jim Carrey. Steve Carell actually auditioned with his then fiance, now wife, which I had no idea. And she made it and he didn't. He lost out to Will Ferrell.
Which is
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell.
I didn't see, because I kind of walked in the room during the auditions. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, is that
his
guy?
Wife made it? Who's his wife?
I don't know. I didn't even know who she was. I mean, I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but I was just reading about it, and I didn't know that
that was.
Because
I don't think his wife is that famous.
I didn't think so either.
Nancy Walls.
Yeah.
She was on SNL?
She made
it. As a writer. Like,
yeah, she probably was.
I don't ever remember. Well,
I'm pretty sure. They're saying she was on.
Yeah, she was on. No, and that's what's so funny is they were really highlighting people that were still became very famous and successful in their own right, but didn't make it.
One of them, Jim Carrey, auditioned to be on SNL. I mean, that's one of those that blows your mind that he would, because he's perfect for that kind of skit show. But he did make an appearance on SNL, and he was on that Jeopardy clip as well.
Let's just do letters beginning with G for 400. And the answer is, this G-shaped letter comes between F and H. Matthew McConaughey, what are you doing here?
Jim Carrey.
What are any of us doing here? Whether I get your question right or wrong, free will is an illusion. Life is a game that plays us.
I love that. I love that.
Jim Carrey. He would have done greatness on that show.
Yeah. And then Chris, I don't know what order you're going in. Chris Rock came in.
Well, hold on. Okay. There's one more clip on the Celebrity Jeopardy that was.
JC handle this.
I got it. I'll sit back and relax.
Or look at the cue sheet.
Or look at the cue sheet that they printed out for
that's
us.
Too much
and just add commentary that goes along with the things coming
that's
up.
That's too much trouble.
So this was.
Like I said, talent.
Yeah.
Here, there is none.
most controversial joke of the night happened during the Jeopardy skit, which was pretty early on. I think it was the first live skit that they did. And Keenan. Did the video Daily Double.
Oh, the Daily Double.
As, guess who?
Let's just go to Potent Portables for $600. It's our video Daily Double, and it's about alcoholic beverages. Let's hear what this celebrity has to say about his favorite cocktail.
Okay, now this Potent Portables is one part brown pajama, and then
dear God, no. No. Oh, dear God, no. I'm very sorry. We filmed that in June.
That was
bad traffic. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, so that blew up Twitter.
Yeah.
For a minute.
Oh, boy.
And now, Al, what did you want to get to?
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock.
On stage, I love Chris Rock. Interviewing him when I did it, I hated Chris Rock. But this last night, he came out to introduce Eddie Murphy, do a little nice tribute to Eddie Murphy. And Chris Rock was really funny in his introduction.
Okay, here's Chris Rock. Because if you would have looked at the sheet they gave us, Al.
We don't have
the Chris Rock clip.
My bad.
I can't pull out everything. But, it was 3.5 hours.
It was funny.
You could have asked for it.
He was funny.
But thank you.
I didn't watch it until about 2 hours ago.
Anyway, Chris Rock did go up there, and he did do a speech about Eddie Murphy.
Right.
And how popular he was, and how all the other black comedians that came through, they started labeling them as, you're going to be the next Eddie Murphy. And Chris Rock said, you know what? No, we're not, because there's only one. And then Eddie Murphy comes out. And you're expecting Eddie Murphy
to just
come out and annihilate it. Just be Eddie Murphy.
This buildup, this humongous buildup that Chris Rock did, and Eddie Murphy just kind of came out and...
And what's being considered the low light of the entire night. Yeah. Here's a clip of...
The stage is set for you, Eddie Murphy. Everybody's salivating for you to come out and give us some Eddie Murphy goodness, and this is what he gave us.
It's a good feeling. I'm really happy that so many people here that value the stuff that I did 35 years ago on this show. It really makes me really happy. I thought you guys were going to, right there, you guys were going to do the, no? Well, let's do it again. Well, you know, this has been a hell of a night. It's really a magical evening, and Skull is going to be part of my life.
And then they go to commercial.
That's the funniest part right there.
Which is well, I think that was awkward. I think
maybe there was some kind of miscue or miscommunication. Like there was supposed to be some video of him. I don't know.
Nice suit on. That's about.
Yeah, everyone had tuxes on.
Looks
yeah.
great.
I love that.
Yeah. yeah.
Now this is the Californians. Everybody's talking about this morning. I never thought this skit was funny.
Kelly!
I didn't think it was great. It was okay.
Kelly, it's funny in a very like niche, subtle way.
Yeah, and it wasn't my favorite.
I fast forwarded through that.
But I'm gonna have to go back because everybody has the clips on the internet. But apparently this SNL app, you can go and look up all these things. So I'm guessing it'll be on there. The scene everybody's talking about today is Bradley Cooper and Betty White.
Uh huh.
And that's what I have to go back and watch, right?
You could.
I would say that, no.
I didn't like
the kiss.
She makes out with Bradley Cooper. Betty White making out with Bradley Cooper is not
first of all
watchable.
It was like one of those movie makeouts. Like
cares?
If he would have tongued her, then it's worthy.
Still, he kissed just as intimately as Chris does on The Bachelor.
It was like a bachelor kiss. Like he was just
But it was full on lip.
That's what everybody's talking about this morning. Yeah. I missed it. So.
Yeah. Here's a little clip of Bradley Cooper and the Californians.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm done skimming the California algae off your pal.
Thank you, Craig. You can go home now.
I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. I was a juvenile delinquent, a J-Dot. And they taught me how to clean pools there, and then they sent me out into the world. They put me on the 5, and then the 73, to where it connects to the Fjord Five at Fountain Valley, which brought me to my new life near the channel.
I have to be able to understand it to think it's funny.
Right, yeah.
I get it, it's the interstates, and ha-ha-ha, that's the running joke.
Let's see if you can understand Taylor Swift.
Ooh. Okay, but just put your man on space, like in the space. Captain, the Zorgons are in pursuit and there's aliens everywhere. I suggest we take a wormhole all the way to Sector 7, go right at the space station, and then you'll see Planet Terror 4 on your left.
Well, that was very convincing.
I didn't get that.
She was telling him about the line in her movie. Because she was the only one in the family that got us a movie
role.
Oh,
she was recreating
a scene.
Okay, there you go. That makes more sense.
The whole time I was thinking, I'm like, Kid Craddock came up with that voice way before the Californians with the Kinsey voices.
Yeah, it was.
It was like, Taylor Swift.
Honestly, it was a Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian kind of combo.
Yeah. I love Kelly, what are you doing here?
I don't get it. No. I guess I don't need to go back and watch the Californian skits like I thought.
I fast forward through that one.
Wait, I need to see something I missed, and I know we have a clip of it.
Uh-huh.
Because one of my favorite SNL little bits of all time on Weekend Update was Stefan. Played by Bill Hader, Stefan, and then Ed Norton was in the audience, and I heard Ed Norton did Stefan.
Right.
And it got mixed reviews, and we have a clip of that.
Yeah, we do. They had the celebrities do the Weekend Update characters.
Yeah.
And Ed Norton ended up doing Stefan.
Well, ladies, when you want to hit the clubs, this week's hottest club in New York is called Yank. Renovated by the third never spoken of property brother, Proppy, this club keeps thumping till you hear, sit, Ubu, sit, good dog, ruff.
No. Look. You're doing it wrong. You don't cover your face. You make a teepee for your secrets.
A
teepee for your secrets.
For your secrets.
I miss that.
And of course, Kanye West showed up. He was in the Wayne's World skit.
All right, number 6, musical guests. You know, we've had 3 Beatles, U2, Nirvana, Beyonce, and even Beck.
Yeah, I think Beck was one of the best, even better than Beyonce.
Yeah. And that leads us to number 5.
Okay.
Kanye, sit down.
Sit down.
Just stay here, okay?
We're up here, you're over there. So
there's a line of demarcation, okay? All right? And social cues are such that you must stay where you are.
Okay. Don't storm the stage.
Please don't. All right.
All right.
It was good. It was great
years
to see them.
Saturday Night Live.
3.5 hours, though?
3.5. It was too long. I only made it about 2.
No.
I watched the rest.
I was lucky I caught the Jeopardy skit because everybody's saying that was the one.
Oh, by
so
good.
I'm happy I saw
by
that.
It always was
I didn't
the
like,
one.
Unfortunately, I caught the Bass-O-Matic.
That was disgusting.
So gross. He did that before.
That was old,
it was just a repeat. But I thought Bill Murray singing the Jaws thing. That
was pretty funny.
Laugh.
That was pretty funny.
I don't know.
All right, we can find all that on the SNL app.
Yeah,
probably.
I have to go. I have to download it. I think it's free. I don't really know how it works because I haven't downloaded it yet.
Let's see if we can put a link up at Kid Nation.
Yeah.
Cool.
KIDD Nation, by the way. That's 2 Ds because 1 D sucks.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
So we had Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah, we did.
We already heard first break that Big Al Mac went to the French Quarter with Dr. Girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Hung out in New Orleans.
Yep.
Kelly, you were supposed to go to the movies with Emma Kelly, with your daughter.
I did. We were supposed to go on Saturday. We're going to do mommy-daughter date, but got invited to play dates. We had a Valentine's Day party, so we actually did our Valentine's Day yesterday. Had a blast. She wanted to go see Paddington. That's what she wanted to do with
me. Good movie? It's getting great reviews.
I was crying. She thinks that's so funny. I get very emotional at movies involving bears, so apparently.
We had a mommy-daughter Valentine's Day with Kelly and Emma Kelly.
We went to lunch, and we got a little bit dressed up. We went to church, so we kept our church clothes on because we were kind of fancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did that. We went shopping all for her.
Oh, that's nice.
Got her some new outfits. I treated her like a man should treat a woman.
Dang right you did, Kelly.
Except
all right.
Her mommy doing it.
Now, speaking of how a man needs to treat a woman, you treat your woman to a trip to Cabo, which
is
what
my
Jenna got from Sort of Boyfriend.
Sort of Boyfriend, yeah. He's earning it back. I kept expectations low when we were talking on Friday. Plan was he was picking me up here at work, and we were headed straight to the airport to head to Cabo for a quick little trip.
Yeah.
Keep expectations low, because then you won't be disappointed. I was so impressed.
He did it right.
He did it right. He even brought me a little thing of flowers, even though they had to sit in the car because we were leaving. It was perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got to Cabo. Weather, it was supposed to rain. It was just sunny from the moment we got there. It was beautiful.
Good.
And we just had a weekend full of, you know, no plans, just relaxing. Chilled, actually had some good quality time to connect.
Well, you said earlier, Jenna, that
I know, which is something he's not too fond of.
Sounds like the vacation was going very well, but earlier you teased us and said that on Valentine's Day, you guys slept in separate beds.
Yeah, we did, which isn't how you would think a Valentine's night with your boyfriend in Cabo would go.
Right.
This is the thing. We got a little too much sun during the day and only putting on 15. We thought SPF 15 would be just fine. And I normally don't burn. I was a lobster. Saturday night, we get in bed. Now, the hotel was totally sold out, and we had a room with two queen beds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was great for me because I'm like, yeah, we got to be close. You know, we got to, like, cuddle.
You get to cuddle.
I wake up an hour into sleeping on Saturday. He has all of the covers. And he's, like, in the V shape with the butt towards me. I tried to get the covers back. And, like, Grizzly Man, he just was, like, had the covers. Then I tried the, like, I wanted, like, sexy time.
Whoa.
I was, like, trying everything I could to get the covers back. He was not feeling it. So I just defeated, went and got in the other bed. And when we woke up in the morning, he's, like, what are you doing over there? And he was, like, honestly, he was, like, I'm so sunburned. It was so painful when our legs kept touching that I just scooted to the far end of the bed. So we spent Valentine's in the two separate queen beds. Just because of our sunburns. Yeah.
That sucks.
But overall, we didn't fight. We had a great time. Yeah, it was a lot of quality time just in the room, room service, breakfast.
You don't fight. That's a victory.
right?
Did it go well enough to where you can remove the sorta from the title?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Because, cards are important. Girls, mm-hmm. I got home and talked to my roommate last night because she's big on cards. He actually brought me a card. And I don't know if this is just a girl thing, Kelly, and I hate that I'm going to say this, but
go ahead.
You just hope that they write something nice in the card. I mean, just the card's nice. I wasn't expecting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, I'm going to open the card. And he's
a nice handwritten note.
A nice handwritten note. He's going to sign it. You know?
I love you.
Love.
You're thinking, right?
So he hands me a card, and I open it, and I'm like, oh, a card? And this is, and that's like a hard word for him.
Well, you know, it's easier to write it, though.
Exactly. Because if you can't say it, it's easy to just, like, kind of do a throwaway and write it.
Because I think most dudes, I don't know if you do, but I finish every letter I write my wife with, I love you.
Love.
But you have to say it the first time to get to that point.
Yeah.
Now, if you
he has a really hard time with emotions, and that's always been our issue in the years that we've known each other.
So you open the card?
So the card has a little ninja on it, a ninja, which I'm like, okay, it's
cool.
Just going to be a funny card. And I open it up, and it's
a funny card.
It's a funny card.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just, nice note. Nice little two or three lines, three or four lines.
Just
a regular print from the card.
Just I'm excited to be in Cabo with you.
And?
Bob.
Just his name.
No way!
Did he at least just sign his first name? Because I remember my ex-husband, our first Valentine's together, he signed his card F. Poulad-Sange.
Like he's signing
didn't
an
even get his first full name.
Well, I call
so hopefully
him,
you got the first name.
Well, I have my endearing pet name, which people think is mean. I always call him Rat because he always acts ratty. So that's how he signed it. So he signed it
well,
as
there
pet
you go.
Name.
That's a pet name.
That's
which
fine.
I would probably come up with a better one.
Maybe Snuggle Rat.
Rat.
My
no,
dad would always
I know, but you know, it sounds terrible, but it's endearing, but I always call him Rat. But I even call him Rat when I'm mad and he's being ratty. But
oh,
yeah, so
pressure.
We signed it Rat in Spanish.
How long have you guys been in a sort of relationship now?
It's on again, off again. How do you know?
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't know if it's on again, off again for as long as I've known him. I always wanted the relationship.
Right.
But I'd say right now we've really only been dating in his eyes for a couple months.
Okay.
Couple months.
And then before that, he didn't think.
Yeah.
No, before that we dated, then he broke up with me, and then I'm giving him another chance.
I'm just trying to see when you
But you know, it's hard because
meter.
As a girl, I'm like, I've been in sort of a relationship for, what, 2 years?
Right.
But for him,
some guys
it's like
have a problem
months.
with that L word. You know, a lot of guys do.
They do. They do. The only time it's ever been said is when we were not getting along, and he wanted to get back together, and I'm like, you can't even communicate emotion, and he's like, I'm like, you can't even say you love me. He's, well, obviously I do, and that's been the only time it's ever been said.
Whoa!
I'm just.
Whoa!
Supposed...
Did you start crying?
I was like, you do.
But he didn't say it. He said, obviously, I do.
Hey, I know. I shouldn't be selling him out on it. We'll get there at some point.
Rather...
But it's so funny. What is it with us girls? Because it's like, I know. I really do. I'm not just saying that. I know that he does.
Yeah.
I know that he does.
But would you rather have him
be doing this?
Mean it when he says it or be like, my family, we throw around I love yous like this, you know, I love you. I love you too. I love you. I love you. So it's like, we all say it. So to the point where it's almost habitual and you don't really stop to put the I really love you.
I say it to girlfriends, I say it to you guys, and I do mean it. I don't throw it around a ton.
Right.
Say it to me.
He grew up in a family that they never said it. You know, the mom doesn't say it
to
her husband. They never said it to the kids. It wasn't something that was ever really said. They weren't big on emotion. So I think he has a very hard time with it. So I'll let you know. I think sort of boyfriend turns into boyfriend when that happens.
You might just have to sit him down and look him in the eyes and say, I love you.
You might have to. Yeah, and then what would he do?
He wouldn't.
Guys don't like pressure to do it. They want to say it when they want to say it.
That's what Kinsey did with me, and it worked.
All right, well, you're two different people.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm saying it could work.
He is different.
He is different.
If you feel something, then...
He is Christian Grey.
Yes. There's some emotional unavailability
right.
there. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, which is why it's funny that it matters. You know what I mean? Because I know that he does, and we had a wonderful trip. So that didn't sour.
It'll happen eventually.
But it was definitely one of those things that
okay.
I'm like.
What'd you and the Kins do for Valentine's Day?
We'll get that in a little bit. We got to get to our little girl, Psycho Shannon.
Oh.
Because
okay.
She helped out Psycho with loving. Psycho Shannon. So Shannon's been working here since how old? You were 17, Shannon?
Yeah.
Started as an intern?
Uh-huh.
And then just stayed?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? See, children, if you want something real bad, just show up and stay, and then you'll be here forever.
It works around here.
And now she gets to work with us all the time? Well, Shannon, one of the members of Kid Nation, Ashley, works right down the street from us, right?
Yeah, she does, but her family lives a couple hours away.
Okay.
And so her husband was unable to be with her for Valentine's Day, and so he reached out to me to ask if maybe I might be able to help make her Valentine's Day a little bit more special because he wasn't able to do it himself.
Okay, so Daniel is out of town. That's the husband.
Yes.
And he wants you to go show her love on his behalf.
Yes.
Basically. Okay.
Yes. So he asks me if I would be willing to serenade her with a song that means a lot to both of them.
Okay.
And
he asked you to serenade what?
Yes.
Shannon's an accomplished singer.
Okay. I'm not.
Okay.
Now, is she a fan of you in particular or the show? Does she have any familiarity with us?
Oh, yeah. She loves me.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
She loves me. And so the only setup that I have is a little Hello Kitty boombox that I put the instrumental to the song on CD.
Okay.
And I plug in the Hello Kitty boombox. I put my iPhone into a selfie stick so I can videotape.
Oh, my God.
High quality, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can
videotape the goings-on of this. I walk into her office. I ask for her. I walk over to her cubicle.
Right.
Which is right in front of the vice president
of
the corporation's office.
Great! She's gonna get her a raise.
And this is what happens.
This is so awesome. This is for you. I hope I know the words.
Love in a cubicle.
You are so beautiful.
Her nerves.
To me, Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you so much.
All that I need is gas money. And I'll be out of your way.
Okay, well, we gotta go find an ATM.
Okay, I'll take a check. It's okay.
Shannon, you could...
That's called a Shannogram, by the way.
Yeah. This dressed up like Cupid. You have on like a sweatshirt with the Steve.
See, here's the thing. What I don't feel right like now. I'm very...
Like Steve Belichick.
Very Cupid-ish at the moment. So maybe next year I'll break out Cupid again, but I'm not at liberty to work out at the moment, so I didn't feel like I should subject her to this.
Right. Well, yeah. She looked like she enjoyed it quite a bit.
I felt like the voice was enough.
And Shannon, you did not stop there this weekend.
I didn't.
No.
I actually got another email from someone else who was wanting to propose.
Oh, my.
In an extraordinary way, they said.
In an extraordinary way. Now, what I need to put out there is that this is one of my people.
What do you mean by that?
Shout out.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
sometimes,
shout out.
One of these.
Yeah.
I'll think so. It's one of your peeps.
Oh.
So I don't really think that is highly significant.
So yeah.
But I just want to put that out
there. That's 2015.
So the person that I'm going to propose to is at work.
Uh-huh.
They do work at a very large retail store.
Awesome.
I do have to page them on the paging system to come to a register.
Okay.
Because there's no way I'm going to find them in this large retail store. They don't hear me the first time, so I have to page them twice.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not very happy with me when they first walk up to me.
Oh, boy.
So this is how that goes down. Store manager Nicole to register 21. Store manager Nicole to register 21, please.
The manager.
Hi, can I help you?
Oh, hi. Are you Nicole?
I am.
Hi, I'm Shannon.
Nice to meet you, Shannon. Can you not record me, please?
Well, what if I told you that I was here for Jessica?
Okay. That would be a different situation.
Okay, I'm here for Jessica.
Okay.
And I am Psycho Shannon from the K-Kratic Morning Show.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Quick.
Okay. Hi.
And I'm here for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Because I just want to tell you that I love you for listening.
Yay.
And Jessica loves you a lot.
Yes.
And I have a speech that I'm supposed to read.
Okay.
But I'm supposed to do it on one knee. So I'm getting on one knee. I hope that this doesn't embarrass you. And I think that I'm supposed to open this. And I'm supposed to say this.
I thought I lost the ring.
Flowers. Chocolates, no. You deserve bigger, better, and something that leaves no doubt on how much I, or Jessica, love you. Will you let her, Jessica, show you every day for as long as she lives how much she loves you and marry her?
Yes.
Oh, okay, then can I please put this ring on your finger?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. And she's right behind you to finish the job.
Oh.
So, yeah, you're getting married.
Yay.
She said yes.
And now I want them to hire me as the DJ.
Wait, is that the first time you've ever proposed to someone?
Uh-huh.
You did pretty well, Shannon.
You did pretty good.
Yeah.
How?
Well, I thought she put the ring in this big heart box with a bunch of little paper hearts in it, and I was digging through it for a little bit because I couldn't find the stupid ring.
That would have been way better if you
watched. You have to watch this video on Kid TV. Because
Shannon has set up the selfie stick on the conveyor belt at the checkout line.
And then there's people walking by with shopping carts full of milk.
Right.
And this old man walks by and he's like, that's a selfie stick. Those are stupid. I'd never buy a selfie stick. I'm like, thanks, sir.
Well, Shannon bought one and she said, I'm going to go do bits.
Oh, boy.
Well done, Shannon.
If I was in line to check out, I would have been like, oh.
Yeah.
I always get stuck in the slow line.
Let's keep this love boat going, everybody.
Good job, Psycho Shannon.
Good job, Shannon.
Back to more of the Kid Kratic Morning Show.
It's hard out there for a single mommy.
Especially if
she's trying to date, which is what you've been trying to do, Kelly. You've been trying to juggle being a mommy and dating.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of time for it.
And you have a very strong-willed child.
Yeah.
Very picky.
Wonder where she gets that from.
Yeah.
Little 8-year-old Emma Kelly.
So you tried Tinder in the past.
I did. We do a thing called Tinder Tuesday. It kind of went away because I deleted the app.
Yeah, I tried to get Kelly on it, and then she felt bad.
Yeah.
And she didn't know how it was working.
Tinder's that app where you see hot people on it, and if you feel they're hot, you swipe right.
Yeah, it started as like a
hookup
geography-based hookup app.
And,
yeah.
And if you don't want them, you're like, no, swipe left.
Yeah, so I swiped left a bunch of times, and I thought, well, I've got to eventually swipe right to see what happens. And I did, and I was matched with someone, and then I kind of freaked out and said, I can't do this, and I deleted the app. But then now it's been almost 2 weeks, I guess, a little bit over that. I was at my parents' house, and I was just kind of,
got
bored. I don't know why. I just wonder what's happening on Tinder. I have no idea what was... We just ate.
It just
I was sitting on the couch. We weren't having a discussion about dating.
You probably said, this steak sure is tender.
Yeah.
But you know what?
I wonder what's going on Tinder.
Maybe it was the voice of God saying, go on Tinder. Who knows?
Did you see a hot dude on TV and you're like, I wonder
what he's... No, I just don't know what it was. So okay. I just logged on. I'm swiping left. I was like, oh, he's cute. I swiped right, honestly, on about 4 or 5 different guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is one that responded. And he said, hello. You know, that you do the initial text back hi. And I didn't see it for like an hour because after I swiped right, I shut it off and went, you know, helping my mom clean up the kitchen or whatever.
Right.
And when I came back about an hour later, I saw that I'd missed his text. Oh. So I texted him back.
Oh.
And then nothing.
Oh, no.
For like 2 days.
And 2 days.
But this one I thought was really hot. So I was like, I'm going to do that stupid... I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to message him again.
Uh-huh. You're going to send a second message.
I'm going Tinder Tuesday on Monday. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
So I sent him a second message just like, did this Tinder thing work?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, it's working.
Hold on.
Cleaner alert. Stage one.
All right.
That's only stage one? What?
Yeah.
You know what? What is a girl supposed to do?
Okay, that's fine.
If you really think somebody's cute or you really... And the guy's doing nothing. Supposed to sit there and be the demure little girl and wait for the man to make all the moves or give him a chance to... This is what Get the Guy is all about, too. It's like just giving him a chance to make the move, but...
Well,
the stages of clinging are 1 through 5, Kelly.
I don't think that's stage one clinging.
If you stick to about 1 to 3, you're good, because that means you're showing an effort.
But I wasn't clinging at all. I was opening the door for him to communicate with
twice.
Me again.
Again.
Yeah.
Like when you send a text message and another text, then you don't follow that up with a text saying, did you get my last 2 texts?
No, he texted me, I don't even remember what it was, like, hey, how are you doing? I was like, I'm doing great. How are you? And then nothing. 2 days later, I said, is this working?
Right.
That was the limit of my test.
Never mind that because it worked.
It worked.
He hit you back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Judging me.
Judging McJuggerson.
Anyway.
Over there.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
Anyway,
so he hit
what
you back.
I loved about this very brief text, we texted 3 or 4 times. He's like, give me your number.
You Tinder message before text.
You Tinder message. He's like, give me your number. I want to talk to you.
Oh, this guy's a stud already.
That's the thing men need to understand. I know you guys love text all day. It keeps you from being intimate or whatever. Women need to hear the sound of your voice to make a connection.
Hmm.
And this one other guy was texting me back and forth on Tinder. Have you heard me mention him?
No.
No, because he never stopped texting me. He was texting me all the time. Now, I'm over it.
When you heard his voice, because sometimes a voice can turn you off. You heard his voice and that just kept it going.
Well, I mean, it's kind of awkward. I mean, we even both said, look. We met text. He said, I've got to go to bed early. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And I said, look, this is going to be awkward. Let's just go ahead and admit this first phone call is going to be awkward.
Nerve-wracking.
The elephant in the room is, this is weird.
Yeah.
But he managed to get through it.
Now, this guy that you've been Tinder texting and now just 100% texting.
Well, now we're talking.
Now talking. Tell us a little bit about him. Like, he's not, well, a little bit. Like, is he your normal MO? Is he like 15, 20 years younger than
you?
No,
he's my same age.
Perfect. Okay, so you're not
actually, Coogan. I lied. I'm still the older woman.
Barely.
By 13 days.
Okay.
Oh, no, 17 days.
Okay.
That you already know his birthday.
Well, because, I mean, the birthdays came up.
He's in your wheelhouse.
So you guys have been talking at night, getting to know each other.
Yeah.
He said one
of the reasons he swiped right on me was because of a picture I had up with me and my daughter, because I didn't make that my first picture, but I made it like the second or third one, because I want you to know I have a child, and that is important.
Right.
And it was a fun picture of me and Emma Kelly. So that's one of the reasons I swipe right.
And that was one
and
of the reasons.
The other one was that I live within 5 miles of him.
Convenient.
Because seriously,
guys,
when you've
like
got
convenient.
Kids and a job and you're tired, your dating life, it needs to be convenient.
I know.
So he's been married before. He obviously has a kid.
And has a kid. So you have everything you've basically been looking for in a man so far.
Everything.
He's breathing.
I'll stop it.
And he's a dad.
And you've been talking to him.
Yes, and so we're going out finally to lunch today.
Today. But Kelly, let's go back.
Let's go back to what night was it that you had some type of event with one of your friends?
It was the 50 Shades of Grey.
That's what it was. Oh, so you're in the mood. I mean, you know.
So Thursday night.
So this is how Kelly Raspberry works. Okay, she tells us this story after we get off air.
Y'all weren't recording it, were you?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I wish we would have.
All right, me too.
So we're at 50 Shades of Grey. My best friend Amy is driving.
Uh-huh.
And so she loves to get me a little tipsy.
Right.
So she starts ordering me double vodka sodas.
By the way, we're gonna call it, and this, during this conversation, we'll call Amy the voice of reason because that's what she was trying to be.
Huh. Continue. I don't know.
So but
you have to know that 2 to 3 drink Kelly is a glorious
thing.
Oh,
so good.
You have to know this. I've known this woman a long time. When you get Kelly right in that little window. 2 to 3 drinks, Kelly.
Before I cross
dude,
over.
Okay.
Dude, you are in money. It's money time.
So how many drinks did you have during the 50
Shades of Grey? I only had 2 double vodka.
She's in the window.
Oh. Two.
Okay. So is that 2 or 4?
Two.
Let's just say she's in the window.
4.
All right. She's in the happy.
4.
Oh, God, I'm hot again.
All right. Multiply them by 2. That's how many she has.
He's listening right now.
She's in the wheelhouse.
By the way, what's up, Tenderoni?
So now you talked to Tender Man before you went to the movie, right?
And honestly, I don't remember the chain of events. I mean, because I don't remember if we talked or texted before.
But he
I remember I told him I had to go to the 50 Shades of Grey screening and that I wouldn't be able to talk or text or anything. So anyway, right as the movie was getting out, he texted, well, I don't really feel that great. I'm getting ready to go to bed or something like that. I said, I texted him back.
Mm-hmm.
I said, give me 2 minutes. The movie's just let out. I just call and say goodnight.
Okay, so right
there. Planner alert, stage 2.
No,
right there.
No, you could just say, that's his way of saying, I probably don't want to talk on the phone tonight.
He just told you he's going to bed. You told, your response was,
give me 2 minutes.
Oh, Kelly.
Oh, you guys give me 2 minutes a lot.
Okay, I know, but remember, Kelly just got on 50 Shades of Grey. So
she said 2 right. vodka.
So he tells you, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, I'll talk give me to 2 minutes, and I'll call you and say goodnight. But 2 minutes, you know, when you're leaving a premiere, and, you know, a lot of listeners are there. I ended up taking some pictures and stuff.
So it ended up being,
but I got, you know, it was also very late, so nobody was really hanging out. So it was probably more like 20 minutes before I was able.
Yeah, for a girl, I'll be there in 2 minutes means we're not
about
ready
20.
Yet.
Oh,
yeah.
20 minutes. After he's told you he's going to bed.
I said, give me 2 minutes.
Okay.
But it turned into 20. So what happened?
Jenna, if a guy tells you that, do you call him that night or you wait till the morning?
Especially if I was a little tipsy and he was sober at home and not feeling good. Absolutely not. Because at 20, then I'm like, hey, I'll at least play it cool and be like, all right, let's just talk tomorrow.
No. Kelly, what did you do?
I called him.
Okay. Did he pick up?
No.
He did not pick up.
Did you leave a voice message?
Yes.
What was it? As best you can.
I thought you were. I told you I was going to call you. Something like that. It's like we just got out of the movie. I just wanted to call you, say goodnight. Okay, I'm going to hang up and call you right back.
Clinger alert.
What?
Stage 3.
I'm going to hang up and call you right back.
Sometimes I'm sure he listened.
If you just fell asleep, sometimes maybe you think you're dreaming and you hear the phone. I'm not really sure.
No.
So if they call right back, you'd be like, wait, I'm not dreaming. This is a real phone ring. I need to roll over and answer my phone.
Did you ever consider just sending the follow-up text because that's slightly less clingy?
Oh, no.
Like, well, hey, okay, I called you. You know, you're probably
asleep. That was after I made the second phone call.
Now, let me ask you this.
Amy's telling me not to do it.
Amy,
she's no, Kelly, you're a little tipsy. I said, I'm not that bad. I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm doing.
Your man has told you not to call. And
he didn't say don't call. He just said, I'm going to go to bed.
That means don't call.
That's the polite code, yeah.
And you texted and called.
Twice.
And your best friend is telling you, don't do it.
Did
you leave a second voicemail?
I did.
It
was roughly the same message. Like, I can't. I told you I was going to call you to say goodnight or something anyway.
And then did the voicemail box cut you off and so you had to call again?
No, that was the end of it. So then I texted him.
Planner alert, stage 4.
So he said, I'm going to bed. You said, give me 2 minutes. It turned into 20.
Oh my God.
Then you called.
Twice.
And left a voicemail. And then you called back and left a voicemail. Then you sent a text.
What'd you text?
I could really look it up or I could try to paraphrase.
Did you get my 2 voicemails?
I was like, I can't believe you couldn't sit up and wait for me after I sat up so late and talked to you last night.
Oh.
And I was late to work the next
Kelly,
day. I had to go into work with wet hair.
Kelly, that is...
Clear alert. Stage 5.
Oh, no!
And hold up a second, because this is so unlike Kelly and the advice she gives.
What are you about to say? Yeah. This is the lady that we call for love letters to Kelly.
By the way, love letters to Kelly on Wednesday.
This man has told you he's going to bed.
Okay.
Kelly, you call.
So what? So did you hear from him on Thursday
night? The next day.
I
heard from him.
Oh, I thought he moved to Mexico.
He did not get my messages until the next morning. Of course, now I come into work the next day on Friday.
You're mortified that you
mortified
did that.
Of course you are. What I've done.
He's in the Kelly
And I'm sitting
program.
There all morning because I'm like, I know what time he goes to work, and he usually will text and say,
oh my
I'm listening
God.
To you, and he's not texting. So all morning, I'm looking at my phone,
good.
I'm like, he is so mad at me and over me. Now he thinks I'm psychotic.
Right. Yes!
Yeah.
But most men
so
would.
So do I.
Yes.
I mean, not only did you called once after he told you he was going to sleep, you called another time after that, after you told him you would call back, and then you text him.
Yeah. Yes, he thinks
and you kind of bitched at him in the text.
Well, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's going to say, his cell phone is going to say, missed call.
To
Kelly Klinger. God, Kelly.
No, he didn't put
well,
her under Klinger.
No. Come to find out, he was under the weather and he passed out.
Yep.
He even didn't go to work the next day. That's why he didn't text me that morning. And he was not the least bit offended by my texts or my voicemails.
So the date is still on.
We're still on for lunch today.
He was just afraid to leave the house, thinking you might be out there in the driveway. Yeah.
Did you? I'm sure you did the right thing and you brought him some care package.
No.
Kelly's steered clear. She's trying to lower down the stage five.
I'm trying to figure out how to GPS him. I don't know how that works.
What?
No, she's not.
Kelly Raspberry.
I know there's a way.
Yeah, you got to turn on his phone, and then you got to attach it to
find my friends.
Yeah, find my friends, and then you'll always know where he's at.
So what time is lunch today?
I'm not going to say, because I don't want everybody, like, trying to figure out
what we're
doing.
If we see Kelly Raspberry with a dude at lunch today, we know that's him. That's
why I'm going to a restaurant where there shouldn't be a lot of people. Like, that you know.
You only go to like 3 restaurants.
I know, right. So I'm going to one I've never been to before.
Oh, okay. Tricky.
Yeah, I'm tricky like that.
Tricky.
It's at noon-ish.
If you see Kelly.
You're going at a slow time.
No, if you see me out at lunch, y'all don't say anything.
If you see Kelly, please walk up.
I'm going to go. Let's go find Kelly where she is.
We're not going to find her.
We'll find her. We're going to find you. We're going to find you.
Are you trying to be tricky and tell us you're going to a restaurant you've never been to, but you're actually going to one that you always go to?
No, I'm going to one I've never been to before, and that's the truth.
What, his house?
You know I don't lie.
See, Kelly doesn't know how to turn off her thing on
$100 to for a picture of Kelly with her lunch date.
You're a paparazzi?
Don't.
You're a paparazzi bounty hunter?
You ruin this for me.
I love you, Kelly.
Don't ruin that
just
for
having
me.
Fun.
Wrath bounty is on.
No, please
But don't say hi to her. Just take a picture.
No, please. Al, don't even put that out there. Tell him you're kidding.
Right. If you want to download this and walk by her table. Right.
Clear alert. Stage 5.
No, don't do that to Kelly.
I'm going to stop sharing stuff with y'all. I just want to share stuff because I'm happy about it, and y'all are going to ruin it.
We're not
going to
ruin
anything
it.
Else.
It's not 100.
Are you going to drink at lunch?
2.
Oh, yeah.
I should go ahead and say no.
Oh, are you going to kiss him?
Oh, yeah.
You going to kiss?
Emma Kelly made me pinky swear that I wouldn't.
But didn't she say?
$200.
Okay, here's the story. My daughter's listening.
Hold on.
My daughter's listening.
Real
I want her to know.
This is funny.
Emma Kelly made me, because, you know, she knew I was talking this. She told me I have permission to start dating.
True.
She gave
so
her.
So I told her, I said, I'm going to go to lunch with the gentleman. That's okay, right? She goes, yes. And I mean, we're not meeting or anything. She goes, you can't kiss him on the first date, pinky swear. And so I did the pinky swear.
Reluctantly.
Reluctantly.
You got your fingers crossed behind your back.
I was like, all right. And she said, because if you lie, I get to break your pinky off. I said, okay.
Fair enough.
And she goes, but you can. Don't y'all say anything, because she's listening. She said, but you can French kiss him.
I
said, what does that mean?
All right.
And she thinks it's the European air kiss.
Oh, of course.
The bees.
So
yeah.
Kelly is allowed to French kiss.
No, Emma Kelly is not.
She kiss.
Ow!
One day.
Emma Kelly says Kelly can French
kiss. One day she will know.
And that's it. You cannot peck him.
I can only French kiss.
You can only French kiss,
Kelly. My daughter said.
All right.
Oh my God!
So, Tinder boyfriend, if you're listening, sorry, you can only French
Kelly. Me. Don't eat onions
or garlic.
I love onions.
Yeah, no,
I'm gonna
Kelly,
order some.
That's
fajitas.
A rule. No,
I'm gonna order fajitas on a plate.
I thought you called them fajitas.
Oh, so you're going to a Mexican restaurant?
I didn't say that.
We will find out where Kelly's going.
I'm putting on my sombrero right now.
Kelly, Al, JC, and Jenna are back. The Kid Kranick Morning Show.
Welcome. Happy President's Day today.
Uh-huh.
We just talked about Kelly's upcoming Tinder date and how she made a pinky promise with her daughter, Emma Kelly.
Right. She's given me permission to date, but she said on the first date,
Uh-huh. She did her pinky up. Pinky swear, you're not allowed to kiss.
Okay.
She goes, but you can French kiss him.
Right.
And to her, that's the European cheek kiss. Like,
oh, that's what she thinks
double cheek.
It is.
Double cheek, yes. Yeah. Yeah, full on double
and
cheek.
Because I said, what do you mean by that? And I said, show me what you mean. And she did that to me, the double-sided cheek. So okay. I was like, cool. I can abide by that rule, Emma Kelly.
Yeah, well, guess who's on the phone? It's Emma Kelly.
Hello.
Hi, Emma Kelly.
Hi, Emma Kelly.
Hey, Emma Kelly.
Hi, Mommy.
What's up?
I'm just driving to school.
Uh-huh.
Driving?
Were you listening to the radio by chance?
Yes, I was.
Yeah? What were you calling about?
I wanted to include no French kissing to the pinky swear.
Well, you can't go back and change the rules on me.
Yeah, you already pinky swore.
Yeah, but I don't want you French kissing.
Why? You said the other day I could French kiss. What changed your mind?
Well, I didn't know what French kissing was.
Well, what is it, Emma Kelly?
What is it? What do you think it is?
Long kissing.
Long kissing.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, so she'll do really short French kissing.
No.
No?
How many dates before I can kiss?
1,000.
1,000?
1,000?
Yes.
Do you think that's fair?
Pretty much.
All right, then, Emma Kelly, then you have to go 1,000 days without ice cream. Yeah.
I think only dogs could hear that pitch.
I think we lost it.
Well, Emma Kelly, I just want to say thank you for being such a good sport and letting Mommy go on a date.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You be careful driving to school, okay?
Okay.
All right. And by the way, the first pinky swear is what's going to stand, so don't get mad.
I love you.
I love you, too.
All right. Bye, baby.
Oh, Emma Kelly.
I got to remember my kid listens.
Yeah.
Sure.
We do have to remember that, Kelly.
Blew it for myself. Short
She's French. A smart one, that Emma Kelly.
She is pretty smart.
Now, speaking of smart, yeah. Smart ideas. Trying to raise money for your company.
Okay.
Back in the day, it was almost impossible. You had to go to banks.
SBA.
And then you have to go find a bunch of rich friends.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you could just do that online, mm-hmm. on websites.
Yeah, raise money for things.
But the thing is that some people are trying to raise money for, like, the dumbest ideas now. You find the worst products. You find the worst
ideas. In general, yeah.
So we went online and we found some from these websites.
And some sound like terrible ideas, but end up doing well, which is bizarre. Like the chicken salad guy on GoFundMe. He had his recipe and he needed money to make chicken salad. And ended up raising $30,000.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you have an idea there, Jenna, that was pretty weird?
Yes, I do. It's a plain white shirt that says, I dance like Left Shark. It has a pic of a shark and a beach ball on it.
Okay.
Obviously, this started right after the Super Bowl and Katy Perry's out of sync Left Shark. The goal, $850. 19 days to go in the campaign. And so far, I Dance Like Left Shark T has raised zero.
Zero.
I feel like there's like a trademark infringement there.
Didn't even start on your own. You didn't even contribute to your own cause.
Right.
Wow. You got to seed the, it's called Seed the Pod.
Yeah.
Is that what they call
it? Something like that. Zero.
Seed it.
Al, what you got over there?
This guy wants to drink a Red Bull in every state and post a video on YouTube. He says, I will drive to every state in the lower 48 and I'll even fly to Alaska and Hawaii. Make a video drinking a Red Bull and mention you in the video. The goal, if the comma is correct here, the goal is $2,500, and he's raised so far $1.
Who gave that dollar?
His
mom?
Some of them are more successful than that.
Okay.
I mean, some of them, like you said, with the whole chicken salad thing, for whatever reason. Here's a couple people trying to raise money for the Tanya Harding Nancy Kerrigan 1994 Museum.
The 1994 Museum.
Now, don't be thinking fancy. Don't be thinking fancy.
Okay, all right.
The Post says, we have a hallway in our apartment we would like to convert into the Nancy Kerrigan Tanya Harding 1994 Museum. A picture of said hallway is available for your viewing pleasure on Kid TV right now.
Okay.
See, Matt and Viviana, they recently moved into this two-bedroom apartment together. They're really great friends, and they have this really long hallway instead of a living room.
Yeah, it's a long entry.
Right, but it's a great location. They said it was the first and only place they even looked at. Well, a couple weeks after moving in, they watched that documentary about Tanya Harding on Netflix.
Oh, it's a good one.
They said, parentheses, it's really good. You should watch it.
Yeah, it is.
They realized their hallway would be the perfect place to house a museum dedicated to the 1994 American incident and the response. The media uproar was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they were honestly pretty shocked there wasn't a museum already. Part of the museum's team's research has been the realization everyone is either a Tanya or a Nancy. If you're thinking about it, you're a Tanya. This is, of course, made more confusing by the fact that you immediately thought you were a Nancy. You are most definitely a Tanya. The only real way to be a Nancy is to have very long lines in your body. If you thought you were an Oksana Biol, well, you aren't just perfect, aren't we? See right through you. They're doing comedy, too.
Okay, yeah. Good. Okay.
But the comedy worked because their goal was $75. So far, they've raised $836.
Oh, what? Cha-ching.
And still have 17 days to go.
$800?
Do they just want some money to decorate their place?
That's exactly what
they want. On the walls.
Now, I'm confused. Tanya's the one that actually hit, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And Nancy Kerrigan, this is a story from, 1994?
94.
And these two girls are going to be in the Olympics, and Tanya Harding took a pipe or something.
No, her bodyguard did.
Her bodyguard, wink, wink.
Her boyfriend. Man.
Right, and hit Nancy Kerrigan, and so she couldn't compete.
And people got Nancy Kerrigan on camera crying.
Why me? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
For $800, you could probably get Tanya Harding to show up at your apartment, right?
Probably.
I guarantee it. I'm surprised Al hadn't tried to book her to sing karaoke as a mat.
Oh, why not?
As soon as I book Vin Diesel.
Tanya Harding takes a swing at karaoke. Something like that. What, too soon?
Too soon.
No.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
You know, if you're going to have a fail or you're going to be embarrassed.
Go big.
Go big or go home.
I mean, it's always nice to have somebody to be embarrassed with.
Or have
a partner in crime.
Being a little bit embarrassed. You know, you just kind of, I'm glad nobody was here to see that. If you have a big embarrassment, you've got a story to tell for years.
Right.
Amen.
I feel like this is something that brought me and my wife closer together.
Oh, that's good.
I would say this. It unfortunately is because of an unfortunate event.
Yeah.
Al and I know this girl that unfortunately passed away.
Yep.
And they were having a celebration of life.
Yeah, that's kind of become a trend, really, a positive way to celebrate when a younger person passes away. I had something like this in college for a girlfriend.
Right.
And everyone encourages you to, we don't want to call it a funeral.
Right. Because it's not.
That's so sad.
Right.
We want to be positive and share good, happy stories.
And it was big because this girl, Emily, she was one of those girls that you always saw out and about.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always smiling and she was the life of the party. And
always.
Never negative or anything like that.
No.
And my wife was actually closer to her than I was because it was a girls' group.
Yeah.
But I knew her, and Al knew her very well.
And after you told me this story this morning, Emily would really appreciate this
She'd
story.
Appreciate this story.
She would just laugh at this story.
So they're having this celebration of life at this theater, and it was an invite thing. So Kinsey gets the invite, and that morning on Valentine's, it was Valentine's Day, the day of the celebration, we wake up and we're getting ready, and I'm like, oh, well, what do you wear to a celebration of life? You know, I don't know what to wear. And Kinsey goes,
because this wasn't the funeral,
no.
Right? It was just kind of a memorial.
Yeah, just friends and family. All, okay. If you knew her, if you came in contact with her at all, you got an invite. And you're more than welcome to come. Like 400 people are RSVP'd for this.
Wow.
It was big. And so Kinsey's looking at it and she sees, oh, here it is. If you want to come to this, it's not a funeral. No need to wear black. In fact,
that's what it says on the announcement.
On the announcement thing.
Okay.
In fact, Emily would like bright colors or something like that. So something to that effect.
Okay.
And it said, wear what you would wear out on, you know, to Uptown because that's where she liked to hang out.
Okay.
So on a night out, you know, casual Uptown.
Got
I'm
it.
Like, perfect. All right. So I put on some cool pants, some corduroys that Kinsey bought me.
Oh, cool corduroys.
Nothing says cool like corduroy.
Yeah. Well, they're skinny.
They're skinny. Yeah. I got, Kinsey bought me this cool, like pretty kind of bright blue sweater and this cool t-shirt. I'm
all
like,
right.
This is what I would wear out. And that I would see her in. And
okay.
Kinsey, so hipster.
Kinsey puts on these cool white pants and a bright pink shirt from her boutique that she has online.
Okay.
So we're feeling good.
Style McKenzie.
That's a plug.
Good.
So we're all cool. And we start driving out there. And we're getting close. And we start noticing there's a lot of traffic.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, man, this is going to be a big celebration.
Is that like a big, like a theater?
Yeah.
In fact, is that like a theater?
It was a theater. A big theater.
Yeah.
And so we get to the main street and we're pulling up right in front of the theater, and I start looking around, and I start noticing something.
Huh.
I looked at Kinsey, and I said, Kinsey, everybody's wearing black suits and ties and dress shoes. and all the girls are wearing black cocktail dresses and black dresses and jackets.
And you got your corduroy.
You're Easter Sunday.
Like, we stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
And I looked at Kinsey. I'm like, we can't go. We can't go inside. I mean, it's just, it looks like the Oscars. Guys are showing up in tuxedos. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh my goodness.
And this is the one kind of circumstance that you never want to be dressed for attention. Like, where you stand out.
I don't want to stand out.
It's not about you. Yeah. You want it to be about
the person. I want to blend. So bad.
Everyone just should be uniform. Yeah.
And so I look at Kinsey and she goes, okay, here's what we'll do because we need to go to this. This is, Emily would have wanted us to be there.
Definitely.
And I said, okay. All right. And she goes, here's what we'll do. We'll drive around. And if we find parking, because there was no parking to be seen, if we find parking, we'll park and we'll go. You know, because that'll be a sign. I said, you know what? That sounds like a fair trade right there. All right, let's start driving around.
Because, come on, be honest, you were like, we can't go in.
I was hoping we wouldn't find parking.
Yeah.
Because I was embarrassed. And so I make a first left, and wouldn't you know it.
Parking place right there. Any other time, there wouldn't be a...
hundreds of cars are looking for parking spots. Hundreds. Everybody's looking for parking spots. There's not a parking spot to be had.
Well, see, that was a sign. Just like the other way was a sign, that was a sign that you needed to be there regardless what you had on.
Oh, and I even said, that first turn, I find this parking spot, and I go, well played, Emily. Well played. So we park in there, and I'm like, all right, here we go, making the walk of shame to the theater. And we're walking out, and it's like everybody's staring at us like, oh. Surely they're not going to the celebration of life. They're probably going to a bar down the street. And they're all walking past us in their suits and their black dresses.
Have you seen any color yet?
Nothing, Jenna. Everybody's dressed up to the nines. And we get to the door, and there's this guy opening the door, and he just opens the door for the people in the suits, closes it, and we're walking up.
People in the suits.
And we're just walking. We just stand in front of the door, and he just stares at us. And I'm like, oh, we're here for the, for the celebration, for Emily's celebration. And he goes, oh.
Come on.
Looks us up and down, slowly opens the door, walk inside. Everybody's wearing, even the family members,
the ones
her
that
best
sent out
friends,
the
I'm
invitation.
Sure. I guess when you're waking up that morning, you just put on that thing.
I'll tell you, people ignore dress codes in that situation because it's like we should be wearing black.
Yeah,
that's just what that's been ingrained in us to wear when you're mourning, you wear black.
It was one of those where I was so uncomfortable, and I stood in the corner. And I just let everything happen. And afterwards, we couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Hey, you were there. You
know, we were there.
You were there showing your love, showing your support.
And to anyone that was judging, really, it wasn't about you or the dress code. So, you know, shame on anyone who was passing judgment on that.
I doubt anybody was judging. But I'm like, the first time I actually follow directions, the first time I follow directions, everybody else goes against it. And that's just my
luck.
That's
all right. You were there.
It was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony.
I was kind of struggling on this because I had this trip that was playing with my girlfriend. I was like, wow, this is the same. I was like, I almost didn't go. I was like, well, I didn't know what to do. I really, and so I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and go. And I sent a couple of people text messages and stuff. So I'm glad you went, even though you were not dressed appropriately.
I was not dressed appropriately. Thank you, Al. Appreciate it.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.